We're delighted to have our brother Donald Fleming tonight. He's here to give his testimony, tell us how the Lord saved him. Just want to mention a book that he's brought tonight, a book that was written by Victor Maxwell. It'll let you know something of the testimony more in full and the work that he's involved in with Faith in Action Missions. And there's a few copies there at the door as you leave. They're free. Take a copy tonight and read in more detail about the Lord's servant. We're glad that the grace of God triumphed in his life and the Lord saved him and brought him to that place of submission to his will. He's going to tell us how that happened. And we trust that we will be blessed as we listen to his testimony. If you're not saved, we trust that you'll feel the burden and the challenge of such a testimony tonight. And the Lord will draw you irresistibly to Christ. Brother, you're welcome to Hebron in the Lord's great name. I'm going to loose you. Let you go. God bless you. Thank you.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be back with you again in Ballymoney. Thank you so much to Mr. Parks for allowing me to come along tonight and to give a word of testimony about how that I came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful to have a testimony, isn't it? It's just tremendous to be able to stand here and just to say a word for my Saviour. I love him very, very much. I am saved now 27 years. For the last 20 years, we've been serving him in the land of Ukraine. We started in Belarus, Romania, the north of Romania, and for the last 20 years, we've been in the land of Ukraine. But before I tell you any more about that, could you just turn with me, please, to the Word of God, to Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a portion of Scripture that God spoke to me through 27 years ago, when just before I was saved. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to begin the reading at verse 23, where the Word of God says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." And we know that the Lord will bless that reading. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your precious word. We thank you, Father, tonight that your word is forever settled in heaven. And yet at the same time, how that faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we thank you tonight that we can't be saved outside of the word of God. It has to be through the words of God himself. And Father, to that end, we thank you and we praise you. We lift our hearts and thank you for the precious word of God, and how that we can only be saved through that word. And Father, not only can we be saved through it, but how that we grow stronger through that word. So Father, give us all a great desire for the precious word of God. Father, thank you for this evening. We pray, Father, that you'll give us eyes to see, and that you'll give us ears to hear, and hearts that would be obedient unto the call of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we thank you that faith comes through faith alone and Christ alone. And Father, we pray tonight that by the end of this meeting, that some poor lost sinner, someone who doesn't even know maybe that he's a lost sinner, may he come to faith and become a child of God tonight by the end of this meeting. And Father, we promise that we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And we ask these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Donald Fleming, my name is. You can tell by now that I'm not from Northern Ireland. I grew up just outside Glasgow, and I've lived in Northern Ireland now for about 38 years. I came over here with the army, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But, you know, I told you that we've been serving the Lord in Ukraine, and I want to start off with that, what we're actually doing now. I would like to finish off with the gospel, but start what I'm doing now for the Lord. And for 20 years, we have worked in Ukraine. We started in Ukraine to the call of God through Faith in Action Missions. It's a mission who live completely by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that our work for the Lord will be provided by the Lord, that we don't have to go to the world to look for anything, that we just completely rely on God for all of our provision. And through that, Faith in Action Missions have had many, many opportunities. Our main aim is to get the Word of God into every area of the work that we have in Ukraine. And there are many different areas. We believe that when people have the Word of God, then they have great, great hope of being saved and finding God. But without the Word of God in their lives, without a Bible in their homes and in their families, then it makes it more difficult for them. Today, we went to Ukraine because there was a Christian school opening. We opened a Christian school in Ukraine. The headmaster, Sash, and that school had been in Northern Ireland a number of times. I've been in the school with Mr. Priestley in Bangor and with Diane down in Portadown. So the two schools had great contact over the years. The school, when we went to Ukraine at first, there was only 5 children within the school. Today, there's 172 children within the school. The government told us not to go against the system and open this Christian school. It was a communistic government at the time. But we went against it. We obeyed God rather than man. And today there's over 170 children within the school. Today in Ukraine, as you know, they're under martial law in different parts of Ukraine because of this trouble in the east of Ukraine with Russia. And it just happens to be that the areas that we actually work in at the moment are under martial law. But it doesn't stop us in any way. It just gives us more people to speak to about the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that the army are already there. We also work in the east of Ukraine with the Ukrainian army. God has opened a door to go to the Ukrainian army to minister to them, to preach the gospel to the men and women who are trapped in the front line and they're being killed daily in Ukraine. But we work alongside the pastors on the front line, and we have great opportunities to go to the people from the east of Ukraine in Donetsk and Lugansk and different places like that, people who are under great oppression at the moment. They're suffering in terrible, terrible ways. They have no medicines, no hospitals opened. They've all been closed down by the rebels. And this gives us a great opportunity then to bring trailers of food, gospel literature, Bibles, medicines, and so on into the people. I could tell you many, many stories about the great things that God is doing there in the east of Ukraine, but tonight doesn't permit me to do that. We also work in the prisons within Ukraine. There's almost 180 prisons in Ukraine, and we have access into every prison in Ukraine. We started there 20 years ago. That ministry has been going for 25 years now. And praise the Lord for the work that takes place within that. When we return in February, we go to the women lifers to minister to them for a while. There's now 5 rehabilitation centres built, 1 for single men, single women, and 3 for families. So men and women are being saved within the prison system. The authorities encourage us to keep coming back again. And we do that, of course. They're being saved. They're being baptised within an old rusty skip within the prison yard. There's Bible studies every night, testimony groups, choirs, all over the Ukrainian prison system, and wonderful things are happening there. At the same time, the Lord opened a new door recently. For a number of years, we worked in the KGB holding centres of Ukraine, and then that door closed, but that door has been reopened again recently. Through the pastors who work in the war zone, the Lord has opened a new door to the police of Ukraine. Half of our team are ex-RUC, so this was a great desire of ours to go to preach the gospel to the policemen of Ukraine. And just recently we've been invited back in to preach the gospel to retired KGB agents. They retire at 50 and immediately their thoughts start to turn to God. So this gives us a great opportunity then to minister to the KGB, to the state security police, and just to the ordinary policemen and policewomen who are on the streets. Brothers and sisters, I have to stop because there's just too much to tell you. And if I continue, I'm going to get too excited and forget about my testimony. So I have to go back to the testimony. And if you want to hear any more about that, Mr. Parks will have to get me along again some other time to tell you the great things. And brothers and sisters, our God is doing wonderful, wonderful things. He's still on the throne, you know. He really is. And he's moving in wonderful ways throughout that land of Ukraine, even in the midst of all of their troubles. I'm just back from Ukraine. I come back with a chest infection, so please forgive me for the little bit of coughing that I'm going to be doing tonight. You know, I was born and brought up just outside Glasgow. And I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family there. And it was a family with alcohol problems. And even although those problems existed, my mother tried to bring me up within the Roman Catholic Church. And every Saturday morning, she would send me along to confessions. And I would go along to the priest and tell him all the wrong things that I had done since my last confession, which was probably the Saturday before. He would then tell me to go in peace, that everything was good, that my sins were forgiven. And, you know, that was something that we did on a regular basis. I didn't understand, certainly, that the Word of God said, who can forgive sins but God only? That only God can forgive my sin. That only God can forgive your sin. But as I grew up, this was a part of the Roman Catholic tradition, to go to the priest, another sinner, a man who needed his own sins forgiven, and only God was going to be able to forgive his sins. Sunday morning, she would send me along to the chapel for the Mass. I found myself sitting in the chapel during the week before I went to school, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, because of the problems within my family. I thought it would be better to leave for school early and just go in and talk to Mary or one of the saints in this big, cold, dark chapel. There was only one in it from time to time. Sitting there at maybe 8:30 in the morning, those cold, dark mornings in that huge building. And I remember sitting, talking to Mary and talking to the saints and just pouring my heart out to all of them. And it wasn't a few years later I realized nothing much is changing here. Do these things really hear me? Do they hear me? Do they really hear me? Because nothing is changing in my life. As I used to pray to the statues of Mary or the different icons or statues of the little king and so many other things like that, I used to pray to them. And I started to really question this practice. Do these things hear me? Do they really hear me? You see, I didn't have a Bible. So I didn't know. As a Catholic, I was never encouraged to get my own Bible, to read the Bible, because I would have found out for myself that this was totally forbidden in the Word of God, that it's idolatry, that we shouldn't be making images of anything in heaven, in earth, beneath the earth. We shouldn't be kneeling down to them and bowing to them and praying to them. You see, I didn't realize that, and I took part in this practice of idolatry, only for nothing to take place, nothing to change in my young life at that time. The Lord did speak to me later on when I became a believer. Whenever I get saved, the Lord turned me to Psalm 115. And he said that these things are made of silver and gold. Today they're made of wood and rubber and plastic and all sorts of things, because they're making lots of money from the sale of these things. And the Lord says to me, they have ears, but they don't hear. And they have eyes, but they don't see. And they have hands and feet, but they can't handle and they can't walk. And those who make them are just like unto them. So the Lord answered the prayer that I had as a little boy when I was wondering, do these things hear me as I speak to them daily and pray to them? And the Lord said, no, they never hear. Why, brothers and sisters, tell me this. Friends, why do we settle for second best? Why do we go to things like that there, icons, images of who Christ is meant to be, when we have a Heavenly Father whose ear is open 24/7, a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but is continually ready to listen to us and to answer our prayers. Thank God that I came to know that God years later down the line. I left home at just before I was 18 years of age. I left home. I wanted away from all the problems within the family. Joined the army. And guess where they sent me? Northern Ireland. Everybody ended up over here. Went to Germany first, and then we were all transferred here to Northern Ireland. I served my time in the army here and left the army. I was about 21, 22 years of age when I left. From the frying pan into the fire, I joined the RUC. And for the next 24 years, I was going to serve within the RUC. And even though I wasn't a believer for many of those years, I can see God's hand upon me down through those years, keeping me safe, protecting me. I didn't realize that he had something better for me in the not-too-distant future. As I worked in the RUC, I looked after Mr. Paisley for 18 of those years. So I got to know Mr. Paisley and Eileen and the family very, very well. Seen Ian and Kyle growing up and the girls growing up from their little children. And I don't think the doc realized at that time that there was a Roman Catholic Scotsman protecting his life. And when he found that out, he had a really good laugh about that, a great sense of humor. He had a good laugh when he found out who I was and what I was. But you know, even though all those things were happening in my life at the time, I adopted that alcohol problem of my family, and I was very fond of the alcohol. One day, when I was in the police station, this young man came to me. He was a believer, and he was a new policeman to the station. And he came into the station, and he told everyone, "I'm a born-again Christian." He just nailed his colours to the mast immediately, because the police is a very difficult place to be as a believer. It really is a hard place. You're looked upon to do certain things when you shouldn't be doing them, at certain times when you shouldn't be doing them, and so on. But this young man just nailed his colours to the mast, and he told us all that he was a born-again Christian. Everybody laughed at him, and I even laughed at him. But when the laughing stopped, I said, "What's a born-again Christian?" I didn't understand what it meant to be born again. And I started to travel with him. He lived in Newton Ards, just around the corner from me. And for the next 2.5 years, I started to travel with him. And he took every opportunity to tell me about his Savior. Every day he would tell me that the Lord loved me and died for me upon the cross. And I would hold the Roman Catholic side up and tell me, "Yes, I know all of that. The priest has already told me these things." And for 2.5 years, this went back and forward, never arguing, just good conversations with him. Before he came to be a policeman in that station, he had applied to go to the prison service. And in those days, it usually took about 6 months to transfer from the RUC to the prison service. 2.5 years later, he was still there. But the day that I became a believer, he received his letter the next day, and the Lord took him away then to the prison service. But as I worked with him for 2.5 years, there was one day in particular. I had been drinking. He wasn't talking to me. I was getting peace, or so I thought, but I wasn't really, because deep down in my heart, I knew that there was something different about this young man. He didn't need alcohol. He didn't need anything that the other policemen wanted. He had a Bible. He would sit and read his Bible. He would go to church. He would talk about God. You never met people like that too often in the police. And it led me one day to ask him the first serious question that I had ever asked anyone about spiritual matter. I said, "Joe, whenever you came to the police station, you said that you were a born-again Christian." I said, "What does that mean? What does it mean to be born again?" And he stood up and he said, "Are you serious? Do you really want to know?" And I said, "Yes, I do want to know." And friends, this is what he told me about becoming a born-again Christian. He said, "First of all, do you realize that you're a sinner?" And I said, "Yes, I know that I am a sinner." And friends, I want to ask you the questions that he asked me that day. And I want you to think about them as I ask you these same questions. He said, "Do you believe that you're a sinner?" And I want to ask you that. Do you realize that you're a sinner? Because the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none good, no, not one. And I said, "Yes, I really do believe that I am a sinner. I'm a terrible sinner." What about you, friend? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe what the Word of God tells you? He said, "Secondly, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross for your sins?" Friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Son of God died upon the cross for your sins? I thought about that question and I said, yes, I really do believe that he was the Son of God and is the Son of God, and that he suffered and shed his blood and died upon the cross for my sins. He said, thirdly, do you believe that the Son of God rose again from the dead on the third day? And I said, yes, I do believe that. Friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that the Son of God died upon the cross for your sin? And thirdly, do you believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day? And I said, yes, I believe all of that. He says, praise the Lord, he says, because now you can be saved. The first step in becoming a believer is acknowledging your sin, that you are a sinner. And if you believe that you're a sinner, then and only then can you be saved from that sin within your life. He said, you don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go to no one. He said, but in the privacy of your own home or even sitting here, you can come and ask God to forgive your sin, believing in him. Repent, he says, followed by your faith in Jesus Christ. He said, and if you believe in him and turn from your sin, he said, you'll be born again. He said, you'll be saved. You'll become a Christian. You'll become a believer. He said, there's nothing that we can put towards this already perfect work of Jesus Christ. He said, he paid the price of your redemption. He said, and if you will just confess your sin to God and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and live your life for him, he said, put Jesus Christ right at the center of your life and live your life for him. You'll be born again. And I thought, brothers and sisters, what wonderful advice. What great advice to put Jesus Christ right at the very center of our life and just to live our lives for him. I took him at his word that day. I went home to my own home that night, and he had given me a little booklet. And this little booklet, it talked about sin, Savior, and salvation. And as I was sitting at home, Jacqueline was in the hospital, and the children were playing in the garden. I opened this little booklet, and it talked about sin. It pointed out that we're all sinners, just like we had already talked about. It showed me very clearly that there's none in this world exempt from sin, that every man, woman, and child who's ever been born into this world has been a sinner, with the exception of the Savior himself. Then it talked about the Savior, how that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, that there are not lots of Saviors, that there is only one Savior. And then it talked about his salvation, that outside of Jesus Christ there is no salvation. You see, I used to believe that the Roman Catholic Church, I really believed that we could only have salvation through them. I thought that we could have salvation through doing lots of good deeds and lots of good works. Salvation through the Roman Catholic Church and through Mary. But here I was finding scripture references pointing me and telling me that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of man. And if we are going to try to work our way to heaven, then we're just going to go to a lost eternity. By the time I had come to the end of that little book, I absolutely knew within my heart I wanted to be saved. I needed the Lord in my life. My life was upside down. It was causing chaos in my marriage and for my children. And I knew that I had tried everything else and nothing else worked. The Bible says, taste and see that God is good. That evening I took the Word of God at his word, and I tasted and seen. And brothers and sisters, friends, God is good. He is so good. I repented of my sins that night. To repent means a change of mind, a change of a direction, a change of purpose. From going one way, I turned my back in the old sinful life, and I followed hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. And this portion of Scripture, it came alive to me that night. Because in verse 27, or verse 26, it talks about how that the Lord will give us a new heart and how that he'll give us a new spirit. There was a spiritual heart transplant took place in my life that night as I turned to God in faith, repented of my sins and accepted the Savior into my life. A spiritual heart transplant took life. He took away that old, cold, hard, stony heart out of my heart, out of my life, and he replaced it with a heart of flesh. He took away that heart that wanted nothing to do with God. He took away that heart that wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He took away that heart that wanted nothing to do with the Word of God, nothing to do with churches and God's people. And he gave me a heart of flesh. He gave me a heart that loved him. He gave me a heart that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me a heart that loved the precious Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I had never read a Bible before. Now I can't get enough of the Word of God. And surely this is because of that heart transplant. As God gives us a new heart, as God takes away the worldly spirit and gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, all of these things happen automatically. And if you say that you're a Christian tonight, but you don't have a desire for the Word of God, or you don't have a desire for the house of God, then there's a very big problem within your life. Whenever we are saved, everything changes. We become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. I left the old world behind, and I followed hard after Christ. Now my life was changing. The next day I came to work, I told everybody in work, I've repented of my sins, I'm a born-again believer. My friend Joe, he came and gave me my first Bible. I had never had a Bible before. I didn't know what the Bible was. I used to think that some man sat down and just wrote this book. That's how ignorant really I was. You see, as a Roman Catholic, we were never taught the Word of God. We were never encouraged to get our own Bible and to sit down and to read it for ourselves. But now I had my own Bible. And you know something, I fell in love with it immediately. And I ended up reading it for 17 hours a day for the next 6 years. I just couldn't stop reading the Word of God. It came alive to me. It came alive in my hands. And I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop reading it. I just wanted to know, who is this God who loves me so much that he would send his son to die for my sin? Who is he? And I just wanted to know who he is and who he was and why he would do such a thing for a horrible sinner such as I was. I couldn't stop reading the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, what a book we have here. I hope you don't take it for granted, this book that we have. You know, I remember growing up as a young Roman Catholic, and I seen people going to church and Sunday school with a book under their arm, which I found out later to be a Bible. I said to myself, there the Christians are going. I wish I had a Bible. I just wanted a Bible. And when I confronted some of the young Protestant boys going to church, I said, what is that book? They said, this is the Bible. We learn all about Jesus within the Sunday school. And I remember thinking, oh, I want to do that. Oh, please let me learn about Jesus. That's all I wanted to do, even as a little boy. I just wanted to learn all about my Savior, about the one who died for me. But that opportunity was never going to come for me because my family would never let me go to a Protestant church. They would never let me go to a Sunday school. Brothers and sisters, the privilege that you have had down throughout the years is unbelievable. You've had the Word of God since you were little children. I hope you really do appreciate that, because there are many people, even in Northern Ireland today, even in Ireland, even in the UK, they've never seen a Bible. They don't know, just like I didn't know, they don't know that this is the infallible Word of God itself. God speaking to us through this book. The doc used to say to me, don't you worry about protecting my life. You read the Word, brother, he says. Just you get stuck into the Word of God. He says, forget about me and my family. He says, the Lord will look after us. And praise the Lord did look after him. And for the next 6 years, I was going to just sit with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit guiding me as I read the Word of God. Just at that time, within 3 weeks of me being saved, my wife Jacqueline came to faith in the Savior. Then my daughter Laura came to the Savior very quickly after that. Brothers and sisters, God has been so good within my family. The Lord has changed not only me, but he had changed my family. Maybe there's something holding you back tonight from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that's stopping you from trusting in him? For me, it was alcohol and gambling and all the vices that the world had to offer. What is it for you? What is it that's stopping you from trusting in Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you, you haven't even begun to live yet. You'll only begin to live whenever you come to know him and love him as your Savior. Jacqueline was saved and my daughter was saved. Then the Lord spoke to me about my family in Scotland and how that they were still caught up in the traditions of a Roman Catholic Church. Praise the Lord, not too many traditions in here for us to follow. We follow the Saviour, don't we? That's the one that we follow. And we went over, sadly, we went to Scotland. It was for my grandmother's funeral. And it was a very difficult time because we were just saved. And it meant us going back into this system again. And I arrived at my mother's house and she said, the priest will be here at 7 o'clock. The coffin's in the room. We'll be saying the rosary at 7 o'clock. I said, Mum, I said, I don't do the rosary anymore. I just don't do it anymore. She said, then you'll have to go to confessions in the morning and confess your sins to the priest. And I said, in fact, I said, I'll be leaving the house. I'll not be here for the rosary. We went to a little gospel hall near the home and we sat there and we prayed for the family. The next morning at the service, they told me I had to go to confessions. I says, no. I said, that's an absolute waste of time. God's the only one who can forgive my sin. I said, and to God alone will I confess my sin. During the service, my wife Jacqueline said, Donald, what do I do? I've never been in one of these places before. I said, you do what I do. I said, and that's nothing. I said, we're here to pay our last respects to my grandmother. I said, we don't take part in the worship. We don't take part in any ministry at all. We just sit in this seat. And that's what we did throughout the service. I refused to take part in anything that was going on. And by the end of it, my father came to me and said, you brought shame upon the family. Go away and never return here again. And I found that quite difficult because, you know, I had become a believer. I thought, surely this is not going to happen, that my family are going to disown me now. And you know something? It was a very difficult time being disowned by your mother and your father and told never to come back again. But there was one thing I did know. I loved Jesus Christ. He was my Savior. And it didn't matter who told me to go away and never return. As long as my Savior didn't tell me that, I was okay with that. I left Scotland and came here and never heard from them again. They wouldn't keep in touch with me. They wouldn't answer my calls. And the Lord gave me a very precious portion of Scripture at that time. He says, when your mother and father forsake you, then I will take you up. How many times have you read that? Brothers and sisters, how many times have you read that portion of Scripture? It came alive to me, and it was so precious because my mother and father had forsaken me, but the Lord had taken me up. And although it was very difficult at that time, it was one of the most blessed times of my life to have been brought up and just cared for by the Lord. And a number of years later, I got the call that my mother was very ill. I had already spoken to my mother before they disowned me about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had many good conversations about her becoming a believer. When I got saved, she started to become a very devout Roman Catholic. She stopped drinking and she became a very devout Roman Catholic, working in the charity shop 6 days a week, trying to earn her salvation, trying to buy her way into heaven through her good works. And now I got the call that my mother was dying with cancer. And we went over to the family home and my mother was in the room and I was left alone with her. And I said, Mum, remember, you only need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Just ask him to help you and save you. And I remember taking her hand that day because she couldn't breathe very well at this point and she was struggling. I said, Mum, I said, Father, I said, help my mother. I said, please save her. You haven't brought me all this way just to see my mother die in front of me and go to hell. I said, you're a loving, gracious, merciful God. I said, Father, save my mother. And about 25 minutes later, she sat up. She opened her eyes and propped her up in the pillow. And she said, Donald, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. And brothers and sisters, this is why I can tell you that I love my Savior so much. I will do anything for him. I just love him so much. Not only did he save me and my wife and my daughter, but he saved my mother right from the very brink of hell itself. You know, when I went home a week later, she passed into the presence of the Lord a week later. It was great to sit down and just to open the Bible with her, a thing that would never happen in my house, in my mother's house. And then the night that she passed away, my sister said to her, "Mom, do you want me to get the priest?" There was a terribly unhealthy respect for the priest in my family. He was looked upon as God himself. And my sister said, "Mom, do you want me to get the priest?" And it was music to my ears when I heard my mother say, "No, I no longer need him." And brothers and sisters, do you know why she didn't need him? Because now she had a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She passed away that night. I had no relationship with my mother here, but maybe one day I'll see her again. Brothers and sisters, this is why I'm here tonight, to tell you about my God, because I have such a great God. He's real. He's there. And he's waiting to save you. I remember thinking about my mother that night, a woman who lived a very devout life, Roman Catholic lady, a very devout Roman Catholic lady. And I'm sure that she worked 6 days, sometimes 7 days a week within the chapel, trying to purchase her own salvation. She told me that she was working her way to heaven, that one day through all of these good works that she was going to be in heaven one day. And I'm sure that as she lay on that bed, gasping for breath, the thought occurred to her, "Where is Mary now? After all these years of praying to Mary, where is she now that I need her? Where's the priest? Now that I need the priest, where is he now?" As she lay on her deathbed, "I wonder if I've done enough good works to see me through." And brothers and sisters, the thought occurred to her, "What if I haven't? What if I haven't done enough good works?" And brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us very simply, it's by grace that we are saved through faith, not of works. It's simply through faith. It doesn't matter how many works you can accomplish. You can store them up from now to kingdom come. But the Lord says it's by grace through faith. That our salvation tonight is a gift of God. We can't purchase it. We can't add anything to it. It's by faith alone and Christ alone. My mother didn't realize that. She tried to work her way to heaven, only to realize right at the last moment, it was only Jesus Christ who can help us. And she turned in faith to him and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into her life and to forgive her and to save her from her sin. Friends, what is it that's stopping you? What's holding you back? Are you just like my mother, where you're trying to buy your way into heaven? Maybe through your good works. Maybe you come to this church week after week and you sit here and there's still no movement from you spiritually. You're still lost in your sin. Friends, don't get like my mother. Don't harden your heart so much that the Lord has to take it right down to your final breath. Come to faith early. Enjoy your salvation. Serve the Lord. Stand up, because you're only coming to serve him. You're only coming to live now. Whenever you come to faith in him, it's only then that you're going to start living. Turn to him tonight. Friends, don't believe in the building tonight. If you haven't taken that step, doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Hindu, doesn't matter what you are, the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. And tonight, his salvation is offered to you freely. Will you come to him? Will you accept him? It would be a blessing to speak to you if you want to speak any further. It would be a blessing to speak to you and just to point you to the Savior that I love so much, that many within this building have trusted in for years. They have tasted, they've seen that our God is good. And friends, may God give you the help that you need to put away the things of the world. Whatever it is that's holding you back, let it go and come and put your faith firmly in him. And may God give you the help that you need to do just that. Mr. Parks, God bless you and thank you.